Previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
Yeah, but one of the adages is like, friends don't let friends teach friends.
Yep.
Or your significant other teaching you how to ski.
Yeah, doesn't work.
That can go sideways pretty quickly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know what? Later in life, you might regret it because I do. I mean, my mom taught all my friends piano and I just wouldn't learn from her. And I regret it to this day. But I understand.
He also wouldn't learn tap from me.
Yeah,
so there was that. I gave him one lesson and he made me cry.
I wrecked her. Back to the Loyal Littles podcast
on the WTFC podcast network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles.
Hey, Littles.
Hey, Littles. Ritz.
Woo!
In the house.
Littles.
That was
Ritz
so
is in the house.
Fun.
Happy 300th, everyone.
Wow.
300th episode. Can't believe we're here.
Can't believe it.
Rich, you were asking us a question off air. What was the question you asked me off air?
I said, what's the over-under you guys had on episodes when you started this amazing venture?
I don't remember. I don't think we had any.
I'm pretty confident you didn't have any. You were at the time just focused on, okay, we're going to do 4 a week.
Yeah.
5 a week.
We're going to do 4 a week. I will say this. I know myself. I am not a quitter usually.
No, you are not. Yeah.
Even when Tiny Chuck and I had our other little podcast mm-hmm. that we did, and we knew we had no listeners. It was more for me to get my editing chops in gear.
Yep.
Okay.
We had like 9 to 20
listeners.
Yeah,
and find the flow of speaking and into
yeah,
a microphone.
We were using it as like a test site for this podcast, mm-hmm. and he was kind of
That's
getting
a special podcast.
Yeah, I think he was getting upset with me because I think he wanted it done with halfway through the first season. I was like, well, we have to finish.
Yeah.
Then we did it a second season while we were doing this podcast,
yeah.
and he's like, you're an idiot. This is way too much for you to do
yeah.
at the same time, but I'm not a quitter. And yeah. so I will say that, Ritz, I just knew I was going to keep it going for a while, unless people in like the Facebook groups, you know,
were
the
like,
Tony,
this sucks.
This sucks. Why are you doing this? You're losers.
Yeah.
If we were getting really bad negative feedback, we probably would have put an end to it,
mm-hmm.
but we were getting positive feedback.
Yeah. So it's all your fault.
Yeah,
Littles.
It's all your fault. But we did want to say right off the bat, thank you, Littles.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Without you, there would not be this podcast.
Absolutely not.
I don't know. They don't understand that sometimes. You
yeah.
know, these Littles that are hesitant to come on, or they're like, well, I didn't think I'm good enough to come on the podcast.
No.
I'm like, don't worry about that. We'll be the, you know, let us take care of all that.
Right.
Every
right.
Little has a story.
Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Our
so,
motto.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all the loyal Littles. We're very excited, obviously. This is our 300th episode, but we have some other things. It is Women's History Month.
Yes.
We want to make sure we acknowledge that.
Yes.
And we've just got some really fun things planned.
Yeah.
We're moving on. You know how we always start with some highlights from the previous episode. We got some really good feedback from episode 299.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. It was the Holdens, right?
Yep.
From Toronto, the Midwest mm-hmm. city of Toronto. Great podcast today. Fun fact, Dave Grohl and I were born on the same day back in 1969, along with Jason Bateman.
Nice.
Steve Osbolt, episode 2.
Cool.
Chuck, what are you talking about? This is the best time of the year for sports. The four biggest curling events of the year run one right after the other, starting in mid-February and going through early April. It's the best sports time of the year. That's from episode 295, Glenn Burgatz from Norwegian Soft Kitten.
Nice.
Nice.
Love curling.
I love curling so much. Did I tell you that I went to the USA Curling Championship a few weeks ago?
Of course you did.
I think you mentioned it. I don't. You didn't tell us about it, but you just said you went to it. Where was this?
This was actually at the American Dream Mall, which is next to the Meadowlands. Your favorite stadium,
yes,
Chuck.
Yes, my favorite. Yeah.
You've seen that monstrosity of a mall out there?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And they have a
Not
full...
really, but I mean, I've driven by
yeah.
it. Driven
yeah.
by it.
Yeah.
And they have a full ice skating rink. And my brother and I were driving by, and we saw the big neon sign say USA Curling Championship.
Nice.
So I'm like, wait a minute, this can't really be happening. We went online, bought tickets, and went. It was super fun.
Oh, wow.
Excellent. All right. Now, Ritz, I might need your help with this one. Claire Natola posted this on the socials. It just says, sounds like the latest guest on the Loyal Littles podcast is a side hacker.
Side hacker?
And then she wrote, if you know, you know.
Ooh.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Me
I
don't
know.
Know.
You don't know. You don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Uh-oh.
All right, Littles.
That's what she said.
That's what we need some help. We need some help. Then why don't we get into some corrections real quick right off the bat? We hear from Eric Lonergan, episode 4. He came to the rescue. Chuck, I don't like it when I'm pedantic, but he's your dog, Charlie Brown. And I think I heard you say, here's your dog. That was the title of the fifth special, first shown in 1968 and repeated annually a few times. It's available on Apple TV as part of the Peanuts Classics set. I have the LP. As far as a book goes, there have been a few versions published with the title. So you may have a kid's book based on the special or a set of strip reprints which borrowed the title. Eric Lonergan, episode 4. It is a kid's book. It's not comic strips.
Okay.
I've already read it.
Yep.
It's really cute. It took me 5 minutes. Yeah. It was great. Eat it, Barbara Streisand. then we had another, which I found funny. Okay, I swear to you, I was just riffing last episode. And, you know, and I said, oh, Tony doesn't do Mondays now because there's nothing going on over the sun. You know, he just doesn't care about the NBA. And he right. doesn't care that the Clippers beat the Lakers. Now, the ironic part was, the night before we dropped the episode, the Lakers and Clippers played, but the Lakers beat the Clippers.
Big comeback for the Lakers.
Really?
It was huge.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It was a great game.
Oh, okay. So I definitely didn't watch it. And I just thought that was funny how I was just riffing.
Yeah.
I made up two teams. I had no idea what the schedule was. They just happened to play, and I incorrectly reported the news. That's why we don't do sports.
So tuned in, Chuck.
That's why we don't do sports here.
Right.
I can't even get the scores right. So why would we do more sports? So let's get to a few other things. I have a whole list here of just things that happened. So we had a buy nothing experience.
We did.
Now Ritz has some good buy nothing experiences.
Yeah,
not really,
perfect.
Actually. So far, so good. And we're saying this because Matt Lowy, he knew about this. And we told him, you have to listen. You were the first one to know this information because we left him to go pick this up.
Yeah.
Ooh, what'd you get?
It was
a window fan.
A window fan.
Oh, nice.
But it's like
a nice one.
It's like a digital. It's digital.
Ooh. Yeah. You plug it. It's cool. And it works. It's like just as good as an air conditioner.
Well, it's weird. It's because it's cold outside right now.
Okay, fine, but
well, I'm just saying
it's working really well
in February.
So, but no, it is kind of cool. There's a temperature gauge on it, a thermostat, like there would be on an air conditioner.
It reads the room temperature,
and once it gets to a certain temperature, it turns on. The fan turns on, just like an air conditioner would. Mm-hmm. So it's basically the brains of an air conditioner, but with fans. And so I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see. It's only been here one day, so.
So far, so good.
Because, you know, we went to Nashville.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, shout out to Matt Lowy, though. Next time you're in New York.
Yeah.
In New York, dude. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ritz was 10 blocks away.
I know.
10 blocks away. Okay. We did not get to, Chuck here has not gotten to the Leap Year movie. You have not seen the Leap Year movie.
Never even heard of it
Never
until
even
you showed it.
It
to me.
Yep. Okay. Oh, wait. We have to go back. Because I jumped all over your buy nothing. You're annoyed with it. Because you're on the other end.
I was actually doing some decluttering, if you will, and listed a bunch of items. But, you know, the whole notion of this Buy Nothing group is people. Like, if you say you want to get something and you make an appointment to pick something up.
Commit to it,
right? And don't leave the person hanging. It just totally destroys the vibe. I always try to be respectful when I'm picking things up. But people who don't close the deal or don't show up on time, it really is annoying.
Well, especially when you've got like 10 or sometimes 50 other people that wanted the item.
Right.
Yeah,
but you
right.
pick that person, and now it's a pain because you have to go, if you're nice, you'll go back and find like the next person or whatever. It's just, be respectful with the buy nothing groups.
Yeah, people.
They're good.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's happened to me too. It is really annoying. So, all right, let's see what else we got. One TV item because I did need to mention this. Feud is back. Now, if you don't know what Feud is, it's a TV show. It's on FX. So a lot of y'all might not get it. It premiered in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay?
Oh, wow.
It's called Feud, and it's a series that is about people that feuded in life. Okay? So that one was all about Joan Crawford and Betty Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
I loved it. It got renewed before like the second episode even dropped.
Okay.
Okay? Then about 6 months later, I heard, it's going to be Chuck and Diana. That's what the next series was going to be. That was the next feud.
Oh, Charles.
Charles and Diana.
Charles and Diana. Chuck.
You just
Chuck.
Called the king Chuck.
Wow. Wait till Simon hears this.
Shouldn't he be Chuck?
He should be.
Maybe he is. I don't know.
Chuck and Diana.
Only to those who love him.
Oh, you can't call him Chuck?
I don't know.
I guess I should show a little. He is the king.
Yeah.
I should show a little respect. Anyway, that's what it was going to
no
be about.
No more digestives for you, sir.
Right.
That's what it was going to be about. Okay?
Yeah,
Chuck and Diana. Charles and Diana. And that somehow just never happened.
Okay.
It just, I don't know why. I don't know if they got too much heat for it. I don't know. It just disappeared. But they kept saying, you kept clicking on my little app thing. It never said the show was canceled. And it just disappeared for years.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, this is hilarious. I was watching Saturday Night Live the other night, and during the news segment, they had Truman, obviously a fake Truman Capote on. And they were talking about something, and the guy starts, he goes, you know, I just started watching your new show, you know, Feud. And I was like, wait, what? And so I looked it up. Sure enough, it's like five episodes in. I'm not even caught up. It's on. And it's about Truman Capote and the Swans, as they're called. And I'm only one episode in. Now, you tried to watch it. You didn't like it. I didn't know if you'd like it.
I couldn't finish it. I tried to fit it in before The Bachelor started. I switched over to The Bachelor. I watched most of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed like...
That's okay. It could be my thing.
It seemed pretty slow. It could be your thing.
But I guarantee you would love the first one. The first one was fantastic. Yeah. I can't comment on this one. This one might suck. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
I mean, it's another like period piece. So I love...
I love the costumes and
the designs and stuff for sure.
Absolutely.
So do they actually portray the feud, the people who are feuding?
I mean, it's like the first, like I said,
I'm only one episode in, but the first one, you know, they did a whole segment on whatever happened to Baby Jane, you know, because that was part of their main feud, you know, when they filmed that movie and everything. You know, they were always fighting in the box office and stuff like that, and who gets this role and who got that role stuff like that. And then the kids come into it. And, you know, so it was just really great. So this one, I don't know yet. I'll report back, but I highly recommend it, only because at least the first one was great. So I'm hopefully going to like this one, too. Last but not least, before our great Meet the Littles guest, congratulations, Roxy.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this?
A little bit.
What you got?
I'm going to be at Radio City again.
Get your tickets now, Littles.
Get your tickets now. Hey. Well, no, don't get your tickets.
Well, they're not on sale yet.
Wait until we know where I am. We know which cast and all that stuff.
No, well, congratulations. Yeah. So we're just thrilled. You know you're doing it again.
Yes.
So you're officially going to be a Rockette again next year.
That's great.
So,
congrats.
Again, the tickets aren't on sale anyway. I was joking.
I don't think they are. No, they're not on sale yet.
Because they don't even know when the performance is.
Wait for the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yes, a lot of times you don't find out this early, which is nice.
Yeah, it just depends on the year. But yeah, I'm really grateful. Grateful and excited. And
now you got the offer. You haven't accepted the offer yet.
I'm accepting the offer. Okay. All right. As far as I know.
Well, anyway, so what a great celebration this is. 300th episode.
Yeah.
Roxy gets a job back.
Yeah.
You know, and this is great.
Yeah.
So it is Ritz awesome. Here.
So, and now we have a great Meet the Littles guest. You're not going to want to go anywhere, Littles. This is one I was pining for
for a very long time.
Once we started the podcast, you know, I was like, this was another kind of dream scenario for me. So Roxy tried to keep me in check here. So let's get to it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Meet
the
Littles.
Hi, Littles. This is Bonnie Brooklyn from the PTI Show. You're listening to the Loyal Littles podcast on WTFC, your podcast network.
This special 300th episode by good friend of the podcast, Jason Udoff. And this song is called All Day. Now, if you like what you hear, the best place to find all his stuff is just head on over to his website, jasonudoff.com. That's JASONYUDOFF.com. Also, you can give him a follow over on Twitter and Instagram, and that's at Udoverse. That's at YUDOVERSE. And as always, the most important thing is you can hear the full song All Day by Jason Udoff at the end of the podcast. All you loyal littles, it's about time to
meet the big
and Roxy.
Yeah, Chuck.
300th episode.
Wow.
You're going to have to keep me in check here.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I know we've been asked this question in the past, you know, when they say from the past Tony Kornheiser show, who's your favorite Biggs, things like that. Who did you enjoy in the show? And I'm on tape. I know I'm like one of our first episodes by saying this.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm just going to try to keep it together, Roxy. Please welcome to the podcast, Leon Harris. Hey, Leon, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I cannot tell you how thrilled I am to be here and to be in episode 300. Listen, the minute we finish, I'm texting Tony to rub it in.
Oh, nice.
I mean, seriously, and I mean that. I mean, Roxy, right? We've been talking already off air for a while. Voice like butter.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like the Barbara Streisand. Voice
so
like
excited.
Butter. And I just always loved you on the big show, and we obviously all miss you. And this is why... this has been such a fun and great opportunity for us to bring the Biggs, when they're willing to do it, onto the podcast and get to meet you more than we already know you. Obviously, we've known you from the TK show for years. And so what we like to do is we like to go way back, though. Let's meet you. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? All that kind of stuff. Whatever you want to let the littles know.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. It was not in a log cabin, but it was a ways back. Was born and raised in Akron, Ohio. And ironically, well, not ironically, but actually pretty proudly, just a few blocks away from where LeBron James grew up.
Wow.
And in fact, we were supposed to have gone to the same high school, but of course, St. Vincent's had more money than the public school that I went to, John R. Buchtel High School. So that's where he wound up. But yeah, man, I grew up in Akron, and first time out of Akron, went to Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, down in southeastern Ohio, which is a great place to be a black man back in the late 70s. Not. But they had a great program for radio and television, and I got drawn to that and got into it. Did that and graduated from there and went to Atlanta. Got hooked up with an internship in Atlanta at CNN by complete fluke. Ted Turner came to our campus to speak at the Communications Week conference they used to have there. And I heard a couple of guys in front of me talking about going down to CNN to do an internship. They'd been on the air for maybe a year and a half. And I was like, what's an internship? And they're like, oh, it's when you get to go to a place and work there and get some experience and maybe get some money. I was like, oh, that sounds great. So I ended up going to the dean's office the next day to say, hey, I heard about this thing called an internship and I would love to get one. And the dean goes to me, Drew McDaniels is his name. He goes, well, you should have had, he says, what year are you? I said, well, I'm a junior about to be a senior in a week. He goes, well, you should have had at least two by now. And I said, well, how do I get one? He goes, well, you talk to your advisor. I was like, well, who's my advisor?
Oh, wow.
You don't know who your advisor is? Turns out my advisor was off campus in detox at the time. So he says, well, oh, man, Leon, I wish we could help you, but there's really nothing we can do. And he as he said that, the phone rang. He picked it up. He goes, yeah, yep, got one right here. It was a woman named Janet Connor who was calling looking for warm bodies because CNN was just desperate to get people to come in and work. And minutes later, I'm literally in my car driving down to Atlanta. Did my internship there. That turned into a full-time job, and I ended up working there for 21 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was before coming. From there, I came here to D.C. So it was just kind of a combination of, you know, just good luck being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And just being lucky as hell.
Now, were you a journalism major?
No. Oh. Man, I loved equipment more than I loved people. I went there. And got hooked because at the time they had like seven radio stations on campus. It was low power radio stations called ACRTN. It was like a low power radio station network on campus. And I went there to do that. And I was a DJ at night and worked on some of the equipment during the day. My wife, ironically, is the one who was the journalism major, and now she's a nurse. Yeah, I was a radio television management major. My wife was a journalism major, and now I'm on the air, and she's working at a hospital wiping people's butts.
Wow.
That's so funny.
Now, say the major again. I've never heard of that.
Radio television management.
Okay.
RTV management. The thing about OU at the time, they were really kind of unique. And I kind of fell into it because I got lucky because I went to in high school, I had a couple of teachers who just kicked my butt and made me do things I didn't want to do because I went to a school that where you were more respected if you were an athlete than if you were, an academic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, of course, I played as many sports as I possibly could. And these teachers told me that, you know, I need to use the rest of my brain. And lo and behold, they screwed me up. I ended up winning a national merit scholarship. And so it was the first time I'd ever even, thought about going to college, man. My ambition was to work at a rubber factory in Akron, Ohio. You know, either I wanted to work at Goodrich or Goodyear. That was it. And so, you know, that got me into thinking about going to school. And I go down there to visit the school because my sister was going there at the time. I'd go down there with a buddy of mine. When Domino's delivered a pizza to the dorm room for us, it blew my mind. I was like, oh, my God, you can get a pizza delivered to you. You don't have to leave. Are you serious? They could have done that. I could have been in a basement in Baghdad. If they had shown up with a pizza, I'd have gone to college in Baghdad.
Wow.
That's how impressed I was. Wow. And then while we were there, that's when I learned that they had these different, they had like I said, seven different radio stations on campus, plus a public television station, WOUB, and two newspapers that were working in town at the time. The biggest one was the Post. And it just kind of opened my mind. I said, wow, look at all this stuff that's, you know, tied to connecting this place with the rest of the world. It wasn't like I cared about journalism so much, but I love the idea of what you're seeing and what you're reading and what you're hearing is something that the world is just now finding out about for the first time. And that, to me, turned me on. And that's when I decided to go to Ohio U. And just, you know, again, it was a complete fluke, but it worked out to be one of the best decisions I ever made.
Wow.
Now, quickly, forgive me, because I'm not familiar with CNN's history. Was CNN big when you got there?
No,
they
CNN
weren't.
Okay. Was, you know what? It's interesting. I'm glad you asked that question, because that's one of the things I love telling folks about what it was like at that time back then. CNN came on the air in 1980.
Okay.
And so back then, they not only were they not really taken seriously, they literally had to sue all the way up to the Supreme Court to actually be included in presidential coverage, because really? They were not allowed to be part of what's called the pool, where everybody joins together in pooling their resources and allowing all the media to have access to the White mm-hmm. House, to the president when he's traveling or when something major is going on. And so CNN sued all the way to the Supreme Court to get access to that. So by the time I came on board there, they were still battling with ABC, NBC, and CBS in order to be taken seriously. And so, in fact, that was really key to what happened with me and my development there. I got hired as a cameraman, did that for a couple of years. Then I was a floor director. I ran the teleprompter. I used to catch Lou Dobbs lit cigarettes in between commercial breaks.
Amazing.
When he would flick them at me. Yeah.
Please tell me that's on your resume. I mean, come on. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, I just burned a hole in the resume. That's where
right,
it is.
Right.
But so this one department in the company called Satellites and Circuits had an opening, and they were paying 25 cents more an hour. And I was like, you know what? Because I got hired at $4.15 an hour. My mom said, well, you've got to be the dumbest cum laude grad in the country to take a job for $4.15 an hour. Well. But the Satellites job opened up, and I went for it. And it was the greatest thing in the world, because what they did, and the guy who ran the department, Dick Talbert, described it as tying strings together. Anytime something happened anywhere in the world, we had to figure out how to get video from there onto a satellite or into a microwave network, onto some conditioned data, whatever it took to get it back to Atlanta to get it on the air so you could see it at home, right? And they got to be very good at it, because we had to be like guerrillas. It was a guerrilla warfare kind of situation, because the other networks hated us, and they would try to pre-book all the facilities available in a certain country to block CNN from actually getting on the air.
Wow.
And so what we did was we got to be very, very good at trying to find any kind of backdoor way, any new technology. We got stuff like, you guys have never heard of these things called Inmarsat terminals. These are like little suitcases that have an umbrella that folds down and turns into a satellite dish that used to be used on ships. And we learned how to feed video on those things. And we did stuff like that to get around all the blockages the other networks put in place to keep us from actually participating in full coverage of the world's events, because CNN was not taken seriously at the time.
Wow.
And after a while, then what happens? The first Gulf War. And when we come out there and we kick, and I keep saying we because I'm still thinking in my head we're part of the team. When CNN came out and showed and established that they were willing to go where the news is and take risks that nobody else could and were respected on the ground in all these different places around the world, then that's when the rest of our colleagues in the news started taking us a lot more seriously.
Right.
But yeah, it was tough, man. At the very beginning, people did not want CNN to survive.
So did you just think it was going to be like a stepping stone to hopefully get to one of the main networks?
You know what? At that time, I did not have that. I had no ambition of anything further then this is going to sound funny, but my dream at that time was to make my age in thousands. That's all that mattered. I don't care what I was doing. If I'm 25 years old, I want to make $25,000 a year.
Good for you.
That was it. That was it. And I had no ambition about doing anything bigger or going into any other place. I love what CNN was doing, and I love the fact that they were sort of mavericks. I got a chance to do some different things because they just said, hey, listen, this has got to get done. We have nobody here who can do it. You want to give it a try? And that was it.
Right.
And so I got to be pretty good at it. And after a while, some of our vendors tried to hire me away from CNN. And so I ended up asking my boss to let me out of my contract so I could go and take another job at a company here in Washington. And he said, nope, you better go to the boss and ask him to go to the chairman, because I'm not letting you out of your contract. So the guy, I go to the chairman of the company, Tom Johnson. I'll never forget him. Tom Johnson, to this day, is one of my favorite people on the planet. And I asked him, I said, can you let me out of my contract? Seeing a ComSat in Washington wants to hire me. And he said, no, you know what? We love working with you. You're good at what you do. You're a pretty smart kid. If you want something different to do, why don't we try to find something for you here? Have you ever thought about going on the air?
Wow.
I was like, are you out of your mind? I had been in newsrooms long enough to know that they listen to consultants. And if a consultant told them, hey, listen, sorry, but redheaded Chinese women are that's what we need. We don't need black guys with mustaches. That's not going to work. I'm like, why would I want a job that's that tenuous? So I turned it down twice. And on the third time, my very best friend in life told me, he said, man, if they think you can do it, why don't you think you can do it?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. So my last time on doing my satellites work was that. Remember that? You guys remember that that time when George H.W. Bush threw up in the Japanese prime minister's lap and we almost thought he died?
Yeah.
Well, I was on that trip. That was the last trip I did overseas. And I came back and they talked me into doing it. I did some 2-minute cut-ins overnights on Saturdays and Sundays for about 3 weeks. They said, you can do this for a year. Second year, maybe you can do overnights. And then maybe by the third year, you'll be good enough to be on the air in the morning. So I did the cut-ins for Saturday and Sunday, like for 2 months, and then they put me on overnights, and then I was on overnight when the L.A. riots broke out in April of
92.
Yeah. And Dan Rather's agent called the control room and said, who the hell is this kid, and where'd he come from? And so when the chairman found out about that, he said, nope, that's it. I want you on against Brian Gumbel every morning now.
Wow.
And that's what, and that's what happened. So, yeah, so I had no thoughts or ambitions or dreams of it turning into this 30-year ride I've been on now. So, no, it's this has been a total adventure, and I count myself lucky as hell to have been on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, and was Brian Gumbel even established at that point? He's probably a rookie
too
back then. Or he was?
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. They were the number one thing on television. And, you know, we were at that time the number one thing on cable because there was no competition at that time. MSNBC and Fox hadn't come along yet.
All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, my favorite. Yeah. There's a little blurb of him, and I forget who his co-host was at the time, when they're like, can you tell us what this internet thing is? What is this email? That's my favorite Brian Gumbel clip.
How about that? And now we have college graduates who have lived in a world where they have never known there to not be an internet.
Yes.
They've never known there to not be iPads.
Yep.
That's crazy to me.
Yep.
Is that crazy?
It hurts.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Not gonna lie, it hurts. Well, Roxy's like great in the between.
I'm like that last.
She kind of gave me a look when you did the George Bush comment because she was like, who?
Now,
I mean,
no,
you knew who George Bush was, but
course
that,
I know.
That incident.
I don't know if I was actually born yet.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe. I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe. I don't know.
It hurts.
But
it hurts, right, Mr. Harris?
No,
I think it hurts.
I am part of like the last generation that grew up pre-internet and then had that transition.
Transition, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm reading a book called Generations, and it's how and now how technology is sort of like the thing that separates generations.
Yes.
Now it's not necessarily ages, and it's not when you were born necessarily. You know, it's like the technology at the time.
Yep.
And now again, you got people maybe like you even who have never known a world where there were no cell phones or where there were no smartphones or there were no the world wasn't completely interconnected in ways that that people take for granted today.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You are proof of one of the theses of this book is how each successive generation thinks the successive generation is too soft.
Yeah.
because of that.
Yeah.
Because life has gotten so easy
mm-hmm.
Because of the way that technology has enabled almost anything you could possibly want. Like for me, the idea of taking your SATs with a calculator, that used to be Oh, that was controversial as hell.
Yeah. Well, I was really glad I had that.
Yeah, they're like, you get to use a calculator? That's cheating. Are you serious? And now, you know, how soon before you're able to take an iPad, you know?
Yeah, right.
That's my other favorite new meme, sir, is the one that says, remember your teachers back in the day said, well, you're not always going to have a calculator with you. Well, we showed them, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Hey, but look, I'm still looking to find a situation in my life where I know how to use sine and cosine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be lost.
Same.
I'm just proud that I could still do math in my head. You know, some things, but, you know, sometimes the big, even addition and, you know, subtraction they get hard, you know, but I'm just glad that I can try to at least figure it. Like when I'm going to make Roxy cringe here when I balance my checkbook, because I still do it every month to the penny. And I will go in and I still try to do it without a calculator first. And then maybe I'll check my work.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, it's like the little things.
The fact that you still have a checkbook. Yeah.
Well, this is the
That's called burying the lead.
Right? This is the inner Tony in me. I am holding a
legal pad
and I also every year I do the new check registry every year. I get so excited. Yeah. January, new check registry for the year. So anyway, well, listen, we've got so much more to get into, but we're going to take a quick break. Yeah. And I've got, an interesting question on behalf of the thespians here.
Okay.
So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Bigs.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. Roxy, I say this all the time. How lucky are we?
Yeah, how you doing, Chuck?
I'm
are you breathing?
There.
Are you
I'm
okay?
I'm in there.
All right, good.
You keep putting your hand over my mouth, understandably. And it's for good reason. Now, we've had other TV personalities on before. We actually just had one recently. And I like to ask this question being in theater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, do you have any theater background? Like when they said to you, oh, we're putting you on the air, did you just like have to change your underwear? Like what happened there? Did you just like, there's no way this is going to work? Like, or did you... Tell us you did like community theater or something in high school, something like that.
Oh, that's funny. Actually, you know what? It's a great question. No, I didn't have theater experience per se. Mm-hmm. However, when I was a freshman in college, I told you I went to school on scholarship, but I didn't want anybody to know I was there on an academic scholarship. I wanted to be able to say I was on an athletic one. So I tried to walk onto the football team, ended up hurting my knee and got my knee put in a cast. And so I'm walking around moping, and one of my professors of my communication, one of my communications classes, said, man, quit wasting time. You know what? You got some light behind your eyes. Why don't you come with me tonight? And he took me to this gathering where it was the speech and debate team.
Oh,
and
okay.
Yeah. So they were like, you know what? You're pretty good at handling yourself in front of a crowd. Why don't you try this? And so they had me try reading some interp. And I believe it was it might have been Shakespeare. In fact, it was Othello was a piece they had me start reading in front of a crowd. And I was embarrassed as hell to do it. But, you know, they liked it and said, you know, you had to come out with the team. So I go back to my dorm and I tell my buddies, man, this prof is trying to get me to go on the speech and debate team. And one of my boys said, man, you can't get chicks on the speech team. You get chicks on the... And besides, black people don't speech. And I was like, whoa. You know, you hear the record screech.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that sounds like the most ignorant thing I think I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. You know what? Maybe it's because I haven't given it a shot. And I did it. And next thing you know, before that year was over, I was fourth in the state of Ohio.
Wow.
And our team went on the next year to be fourth in the nation. And I got to go to nationals a couple of times. And so what I ended up doing and didn't even realize it was at that time, I just sort of learned how to take something that someone else had written and turn that into something like it sounds like it was my idea to say.
Mm.
And so when they put me in front of the teleprompter that one time at CNN, you know, 20 years, it was like 15 years later, it kind of clicked. And the fact that I had been in the newsroom for 11 years. And so I knew the news and I knew what it took to actually put a real newscast together, because I'd worked at every position along the way. When they sat me down in front of the camera, it was really weird, man. But it was almost like cool. It was like kismet. It was like, this is what you're supposed to be doing here, Leon.
Yeah.
And it worked out fine. I mean, yeah. So he's like, so I got a chance to learn the business from the inside out. And I also had a background of actually going in front of a crowd of people, you know, in a room somewhere in Western Kentucky University and convincing them that it was that I was actually Othello, you know, and this woman who I'm this white girl I'm choking in front of all of them is Desdemona, but you know, she's going to be okay.
Right.
So, it kind of came together, you know.
That's when cool.
I tell kids all the time, you know, even if you don't think you'll be good at it, but it sounds interesting, give it a shot.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
If anybody had told me that I would be, then I would care about being on an interp duo team at in a southeastern Ohio school. If they had told me that when I was growing up, I'd have laughed them out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
But as it turns out, everything that came together for me down the line, everything added up to me actually being pretty well prepared to go into a job where I was never been a trained journalist. I got training on the job.
Right.
But, you know, so I learned, as it turns out, I got into what I did at the time because I loved television, but I came to really respect journalism along the way.
Yeah.
And when I combined my experiences along the way, they all kind of came together to sort of open up this path for me. It's been cool.
Wow.
Now, obviously, we're here because of Tony Kornheiser. That's what brought us together. Mm-hmm. Can we go into that? Where did you meet?
Mm-hmm.
How did you first hear about him? I always love these stories. And how did you how did you get to be so close and become a member of the Bigs on the podcast?
Another total fluke.
Oh, really? That's okay.
You know, well, I listened to him when he was on the radio here in town, 980 The Fan, which is now 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 here in D.C. And so I used to listen to him because in my neighborhood, I've got there's a 5-mile trail that I used to run before going to work, and I needed something to listen to, so I would listen to the show. And I was working at the ABC station here in town at the time, and we hired Arch Campbell. And Arch and Tony are, you know, thick as thieves. And so when I told Arch that, you know, I was a big fan of Tony's, he basically was the one who sort of opened the door and said, well, you know what? You should get together with him. You should meet him. And then, so I guess he talked to Tony. Tony invited me to come to the radio station and sit in and do the show with him once, and did it once. First time I sat in there, it was me and Barry Superluga. And I was sitting there. I was so nervous. I could barely open my mouth.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but I was thinking okay, you were probably a TV personality at that point. So, you know, you're kind of a big deal, but still, this is to me, someone you listen to every day. And, and if we may, Arch Campbell, episode 214, we'll give him his little plug there.
Hey, man. Oh, I've been on the air for almost 20 years,
but you still,
that point. Oh, I must've sucked down 3 bottles of water. It was crazy, but we had a great time. You know, he's exactly what you think he is.
Yep. All
right.
Love that.
He's witty. He's quick. He's crusty. He's funny and a curmudgeon at the same time.
Yeah.
And just my kind of guy. And we really hit it off. And so he began to invite me in from time to time. And it was just, I got to tell you this. One of the proudest moments of my career as a broadcaster was when Arch Campbell called me to tell me, "You made the open."
Wow.
I'm like, what are you talking about? So you know, when you listen to the show, if Nigel finds something that was pretty good, it makes it as the open of the next show.
Yep.
And so after that, that was my goal, was every time I'm on that show, I got to find a way to make the freaking open. And so right now, I think as of my last appearance on the show, I think I'm batting right around 750. All right, so that to me is one of the highlights of my career.
Wow.
That's amazing. Well, on behalf of the Littles, I can honestly say it's been too long.
Yeah.
I don't remember, honestly, which I've heard you so many times on the Big Show. I don't remember when I just was like, oh, this is my, you know, one of my favorites, you know? I mean, now since we've done this podcast and we've been very blessed to have a bunch of other Bigs on, you know, they've all grown on me, of course. And it's just it's just such an honor to be able to do this. But the one I wanted to discuss, because it's funny, you brought it up off air.
Yep.
I don't even remember how it came up, but I had this down on my legal pad here to bring up, was the one episode specifically that I couldn't wait to hit play on, just because I knew it was going to be educational. I knew a lot of the country was hurting, not all the country, but a lot of the country. And it was the day after the 2016 election.
Yep.
And I will never forget that episode, sir. You were just so well-spoken. Wow. And obviously, you know, we all lean one way or the other, most of us, regardless. So I'm not trying to, we don't do politics here.
No.
Well, and I'm not supposed to do politics at all.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, true.
And that was, it's funny, you know, it struck me that you brought that up, because that to me has always been one of the most distinct experiences, was talking with him that morning after the election. That was complete timing, a fluke of timing. It wasn't like it was anything that was planned.
Yeah.
But it just felt like that was a special moment or an important moment for the country.
Yeah.
It really felt like that. And it also felt almost like a dangerous moment for the country.
Yes.
And in a lot of ways, that has pretty much been the way it's played out. And Tony kind of, you know, he put his finger on that at that time. And we had a conversation that still sticks with me.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I mean, I told you, I've gotten some negative comments from people online about our conversation that morning. But I stand by everything that we talked about, everything I said. I'll tell you that.
Sure. Well, that's the
because it was such a shock. It was such a shock.
Yeah.
And in particular, Tony, that's one of the things that I really love about him. He wasn't afraid to go there without getting too, you know, in your face about things or anything. But he sort of drew out of me, you know, my thoughts about the numbers of Black people that we saw coming out that day to support something that seemed to be something that would be so contrary to what they would stand for, what they would support.
Yeah.
And me as a person, what I do for a living is I deliver the news. But I also have, I'm a human being and I'm also a citizen and I observe as well. And so I was able to share some thoughts that I had that day. And, you know, to this day, that strikes me still as one of the most memorable moments I had with him on the air. And and I still stand by everything I said that day. And it turns out, I guess you can look at the news, look at the headlines today and see that, you know what, there was something about it. we were putting a finger on even then.
Well, and it just proves that Tony knows what he's doing. I mean, we know that. But, you know, because we knew he was going to have Saliz on. You know, I mean, that was Saliz's business at the time and stuff like that.
That's his bailiwick.
It was the other, we didn't know who, at least I didn't. You know, of course, you know, I'm waiting with bated breath, you know, for the podcast to drop just like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you came on, I was like, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
This is the person you want on today. Mm-hmm. And it
well
worth it. Well, you know, and just thank
Chuck
you.
And Roxy, you guys are proof of the reasons why what Tony's doing is so significant. It's a touchstone. What he has established is a touchstone. Okay. Something like that happens. You want to find out where your place, where you are, you know, and where your thoughts are and where everything figures to get in the universe together, right? And so you do things like you go to you go to friends you trust, you go to outlets, you go to news channels, or you go to websites or whatever, or you go to a voice that you know and that you can trust to hear something to help you figure your way forward. That's what we count ourselves as doing on local news on a daily basis. But on a day like that, that's a national thing. That's an international thing. And Tony has become that touchstone for so many of us.
Yeah.
You know? You can go to that you go there, and first of all, you know it's a safe place, and you know it's a place of honesty. You're going to hear what you're going to hear is going to be what you hear, and the people who are there are not there because they have agendas necessarily, but you do want to hear what they think, and that's one of the things I'm most grateful for him for establishing and building, and we've got this community now that's built up around it that is now all stitched together in the in this fabric, that is something that we all come to rely upon from time to time. And that was one of those moments where we did kind of need each other and needed to be there for that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know we're very lucky.
Yes.
And we're just thrilled that you agreed to do this. And I guess
this is an honor because I'm telling you, I can't wait to text Tony and tell him I got 300. I got 300. You don't realize it, but you guys have made my year.
Oh my gosh.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. So if we may, to complete our Chuck and Roxy episode number 300, if we may do some fun dumb questions.
Absolutely.
All right, Roxy.
Okay. What do you think is the greatest invention of all time?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I would not give it to the cell phone, the smartphone. Because that in so many ways has disconnected us when it was supposed to have connected us to each other. I think the automobile would be the one because it actually did connect us and it broadened it expanded our horizons in ways that changed the world forever, but in a positive way where it made the world smaller and, you know, allowed us to bring our communities together. The phones just kind of made us, I mean, look, anytime you come in a house and your kids won't even lift their heads up from their phones to say hi to you when you walk in, that tells me, it's a great utility, but it's also a great divider.
Yes.
So now my vote's going to be for the car.
Love it.
Excellent. Now, this is usually a Roxy question type because I'm usually the really dumb questions, but because it's, I'm just interested, and this is not to like figure out how old you are and stuff like that. But what is the first major news story you remember as a child?
Ooh, as a child?
Yeah.
Moon landing. No question.
Oh,
moon
wow.
landing.
Nice.
Great.
I remember being in the third, I believe I was in the third grade. And remember, well, you don't remember this. This will show you how old I am. It was a special day when they wheeled the television into the classroom.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I remember that.
Yeah.
But not the moon landing. But yes. Okay. Yeah.
It was on this two-tiered wheeled contraption.
Yep.
And when they wheeled it in and turned the black and white television on.
Yep.
And we got to watch this thing happen, which, as it turns out, was only 250 miles away, but
yeah.
it was 250 miles above us.
Right.
That was one of the coolest things ever. I mean, you know what? In a way, that kind of, I think that may have been what first opened the door in my head about falling in love with television.
Oh.
It's because it took something from way, way, way far away and connected you to it and brought it right in front of you. And it's like, wow, that is so cool. That's happening right now someplace else. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I love
that. All right, Roxy.
Okay. Would you rather have the ability to control the weather or talk to animals?
Ooh. You know what? I think I'd rather talk to animals because I've got some squirrels upstairs that just will not leave us alone. That have cost me thousands. It cost me thousands.
Oh, no.
I even put on gutter helmets, and they found ways to get under the gutter helmet. Here's what I learned about squirrels, is that if one of them happens to find a way to burrow into your roof, and it happens to be a female, her pheromones will stay there forever, so that it attracts the males for, like, tens of miles around.
Oh,
and no matter how much money you spend on screens, on exterminators, on trappers, no matter how much you spend, the dudes will still come back because they think they smell a girl.
Wow.
So, yes, I would love to be able to talk to these dudes and to find a way to convince them that there are no more girls in my attic. So get the hell out of here.
Wow.
That and deer. I've spent thousands on replacing all the shrubbery and the landscaping because these giant four-legged horned rats called deer are coming into my house on my yard on a regular basis and costing us thousands every single year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd rather talk to the animals.
All right.
Like, I can always get an umbrella or wear a jacket. So
sure.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Deer.
Absolutely. All right. How about if you hosted Saturday Night Live? Who would you want to introduce as your musical guest?
Ooh. Oh, that's a really good question.
And we've
Ooh.
Adapted
well, too
later
late.
In life. You can do living or dead.
Yes.
Living or dead?
Yeah.
Prince.
Prince, yeah.
No questions. Mm.
Great answer, sir.
Living or dead, Prince.
Great answer.
All right, dead Prince, living, maybe Dua Lipa.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's
yeah.
good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right, you got one more, Roxy?
Good question, too.
Yeah. Okay, if you could be an Olympic athlete, in what sport would you compete?
That's a really good one. I guess when I was a kid, I would have said the 100-yard dash, but after having seen the Dream Team, I would love to have been a member of the Dream Team.
Yeah.
I would love to have played basketball. Yeah. Right. With Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That
specific team.
Yeah,
sure.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be a drop the mic moment.
Yeah.
You
walk off
yeah.
you, with the gold medal with Michael Jordan. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
team. Oh.
Yeah.
And Charles Barkley, who is one of the craziest guys I have ever played golf with.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Okay. Burying
that
the lead.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
That would
burying
awesome.
The lead.
Oh, there are some things about that trip I can't tell you.
Okay, all right. We'll have to have you back on for 5 mediocre minutes sometime, maybe. All right. How about if you could squirt any condiment from your finger, what would it be?
I'm not much of a condiment guy, but it would have to be probably Goulden's spicy mustard.
Okay.
Cool.
That's a good one.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, Roxy, some rapid fire.
All right, Coke or Pepsi?
Ooh, well, after having lived in Atlanta,
I was going to say,
you just got to go with Coke.
Yeah, I was going to say,
gotta
yeah.
go with Coke.
Yeah.
My entire family would kick me to the curb.
Right.
Although I grew
That's
up
what I was thinking.
In Ohio with Pepsi.
Yeah.
You know, we in Ohio, it's Pepsi country.
Oh,
so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. My mom was in love with Pepsi Free. There was a Pepsi Free that had like a lemon flavor to it. And my brothers and I thought we were getting slick by going into my mom would get a quart of it. And we would, of course, drink it and pour water and replace it. And as it each day, successive day, it got lighter and lighter and lighter. First day, it looks like Pepsi. Second day, it looks like iced tea. Third day, it looks like a urine sample. And my mother realized, she realized, we got in so much trouble for drinking her Pepsi.
Nice. All right. How about crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
I like both.
Okay.
You know,
Adaptable.
On a sandwich, I like the crunchy, but if I'm eating on crackers, I like the smooth.
Okay.
Yep. See, that's my guy. That's what, I mean, I'm a crunchy guy. I admit that. But there are something. Certain things. Like, I can't imagine, speaking of Ohio, I could never imagine having a Buckeye ball with crunchy peanut butter.
Mm.
It has to be smooth, right?
No. No, that's got to be smooth.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So. All right.
You know about the Buckeye ball.
Oh,
yes,
of course.
We do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Star Wars or Star Trek?
That's so tough. I grew up, Star Trek was my jam.
Okay.
Laying on the floor in front of the television while and keeping the volume down so my mom didn't know I was downstairs watching Star Trek.
Nice.
Star Trek was my thing.
All right. How about Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper?
Oh, Roper. Oh,
excellent.
Roper.
Yep.
Furley was the one that always, he wore the neck scarf.
Yeah, of course. Don Knotts. Yeah. Yep.
Yes, Don Knotts wore the neck scarf.
Yep.
So, yeah.
They're both great.
That didn't do it for me.
They're both great,
though. That didn't really do it for me.
All right.
Norman Fell, I love both of them.
Yep.
Nice. All right.
Oh, that's a crazy question. Well, that one, of all the questions you could have asked me, that's one I definitely would have least expected.
Yeah.
All right, Roxy.
Okay, pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Okay, and pancakes. I have to ask, just because I...
For one of our listeners.
This is now... Do you put peanut butter on them?
No.
Thank you.
In fact, I do something that almost no one does anymore.
What's that?
And Alaga syrup. I'm sure you may have never even heard of it.
No.
Alaga syrup is thicker syrup. It's not nearly like Mrs. Butterworth with this, which you can drink in a shot glass.
Right.
Yeah.
Alaga is good and thick. It's sort of like it's been caramelized over heat for a little bit longer. So it's got a little more of a, not smoky, but the crustier kind of taste to it where, the sugar has been burned a little bit more. So, oh God, the flavor is just, to me, it's the best. But I'm the only guy in my family that likes it. But Alaga syrup is my jam.
I would try that.
Roxy, I might like that because I am a condiments freak and I like thick stuff, thick syrup. So yeah. All right. Last one. You ready? Last one. Uranus jokes. Not funny or never not funny?
Depends on the room.
Okay.
Okay.
As we said, our favorite is when Tony sets, when Wilbon sets Tony up, and it's how Tony delivers it,
yeah,
of course.
Right.
But
Wilbon hates them so much.
But yes, you're right. It does. It depends on the room. So, well, Mr. Harris, we can't thank you enough for this. This has been so amazing and just a dream for us. It really has.
No.
Take a quick second.
First of all, it's not Mr. Harris, it's Leon.
Thank you.
Second of all, the honor has been all mine. You guys do not know. When I first heard of Chuck and Roxy, when I heard that name starting to pop up on the podcast, I'm like, what kind of a BS scam is this?
News Channel 8 thing is this?
Is this News Channel 8 all over again?
Wow.
And then lo and behold, I started getting emails at the station of News 4 from people who listen to your podcast. And I'm like, holy crap, this is legit. These people are real. They're real.
Well,
so for me, this is reality popping up in my face here in a really cool way. I am so thrilled and so honored to actually be included with you guys and also to get to Mount 300.
Yeah.
That to me is the coolest thing.
Well, it's really legit now.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Take a second. Plug everything. How can we follow you, or if you want to be followed, or if you want to be gotten in touch with, tell everyone how we can find you.
Well, actually, you know what? I have been disengaged from social media for a while because when we started working from home during the pandemic, somebody hacked my Facebook page and Instagram page.
Okay.
And the station had this mandate where we had to post like 5 times a day.
Yeah.
And so when they hacked me, I couldn't get onto my own page. But then after about a month or so, I realized the station hadn't contacted me to complain.
Right.
So I was like, if they're not saying anything, why don't I just wait until they complain before I get back on?
Gotcha.
So I really, really haven't. So now I got to tell you, unplugging been the best thing for my brain.
Yeah.
Best thing for my brain.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't recommend it for everybody, but I got to tell you, if you're interested in trying to just sort of like slow things down for a little bit, see, and let your brain catch up to the rest of your life. Oh God, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So right now I am not anywhere right on social media, but if anybody wants to check us out, we do a show that you can see on Roku every night at 7:30. And of course, if you happen to get our NBCWashington.com or get the NBC Washington app, you can find me there on a regular basis and generally for at least 3 hours a day.
Excellent. Well, thanks again. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Oh, Definitely over.
Excellent.
Definitely over.
Can we go into that real quick? We discovered off air that you were on the episode of the TK show
when this started,
when this came up. And you were like, oh, I know this. This is great. Blah, blah, blah.
I was on, Chuck Todd came on the phone on that particular episode. Yeah, I was on there and we had that discussion. Yes.
And now we know what Chuck Todding the toilet paper is. You know?
That's... Oh, man. And I got to tell you, that started an argument when I got home with my wife because she was an under.
Oh.
And, yes. So, and she was sort of passive aggressive about like Chuck, where I would go in the bathroom and find it had been flipped. And I'm like, come on, are you serious? Really? We're going to do this? We're going to do this? Really? So depending upon which hour you went into our bath, our powder room, you'd have to select either over or under.
Wow.
That's amazing. My gosh.
Roxy, don't get any ideas. Roxy, we call adaptable because she grew up under.
I grew up an under. My mom is an under.
But I'm an over.
But he's an over.
So she's been
very
sweet.
And so when I'm at my mom's, I put it under for her. When I'm home, I guess I got to deal with over.
And Leon, I'm no idiot. When my mom-in-law comes over, I change it to under for her.
Yeah.
I'm not a dumb
smart man.
But
smart man.
It's an over.
Hey, but when it's under, don't you sometimes hit the wall, which means you're...
No. Yes. I've never had that happen.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Enough said. Yeah. Roxy, don't get any ideas.
It's so funny.
Leon, thank you so much. We really appreciate the time.
Yeah, this has been amazing.
Oh, no. Hey, listen, guys. Thanks so much for this. You guys you made my year. You made my year.
Thank you. All right.
You made ours.
All right. All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Friday 5, now it's time for Friday 5, tell you why. Because it's Friday and it's time to jive. And when a little tells us in advance, then we actually stand a chance. It's time for the Friday 5.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And hey, y'all, what would the 300th episode be without a Friday 5, right?
Right.
Absolutely. And some Leon Harris, right?
Exactly.
How great is that?
Unbelievable.
How great is that?
Incredible.
So generous. Littles, we say this, it amazes me. I don't know why it amazes me anymore, but it does. He was a blast. We talked a long time off air.
Oh my gosh.
Just the generosity with their time. He's in the middle of newscasts and things like that. And he was so excited.
Yeah.
He was so excited.
I couldn't believe that. That was excited? So cool.
I mean, he said he was going to text Tony right away.
I know.
All right. So let's do some of these. Okay. This is from Steve Tashir.
A.K.A. Pepe the Sock Guy.
Pepe the Sock Guy.
Episode 114.
Very Roxy, doing her homework.
I was prepared.
You were prepared. All right, well, then why don't you read the first one?
All right. For this entire season, and most of last women's college basketball season, I have been mesmerized by Iowa and Caitlin Clark. Every game is appointment viewing for me. What sporting event or TV show or music tour have been appointment viewing for you?
Okay, should we go back? I think we should.
Okay.
Do you want to read the open? Because
sure.
It was very specific, so sure. I feel like we should.
Yes, he says, first let me say I adhere to the Jamie Julian School of Friday 5.
Episode 6?
6, I believe.
No, 5. 5. 5. Positive.
Wasn't
5.
That Jeff Hyson?
Nope.
Oh.
She's 5. He's 11.
Oh, Robert right. Bird. 5 and 11.
5 and 11.
There it is. All right. All right. Keep the question short. I may have not followed that rule exactly, and it's okay to not answer all 5 if you're not feeling it. Thank you to Cool Aunt Claire for giving me another chance and giving me so much time to prepare.
All right. So appointment viewing, do you have?
You know, I would say that any sporting event that's on my television at any given time is appointment viewing because the lovely wife will walk out into the living room and go, oh, look, he's watching sports.
I mean, maybe I'm misreading it. The only thing that came to my mind was the Tony Awards.
Yeah.
You know, I
mean,
always...
PTI is kind of appointment.
Oh, that's
for
true.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I never miss.
No.
Never.
I mean, sometimes you don't watch it right at 5:30, but.
Right. And I'll DVR it.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll have to go to the podcast because
right.
I'm just not anywhere near a TV.
Right.
So, yeah,
hey,
that's,
by
a
the
good,
way,
that's a better one.
Mm-hmm. Good cheat code for PTI. It's on at 5:30 a.m. the following morning.
Is is it?
Oh, yeah.
But that's when I watch it very typically.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. I always like doing that sometimes and then to see, like, you know, Wilbon, hey, who you got? And then to see how bad it was.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
Like how awful their picks were.
Yeah. I would say I've had, you know, The Bachelor, Dancing with the Stars has been, you know, Survivor is appointment viewing for
us. Yeah, that's true.
Survivor.
So I'd say Survivor and PTI.
Yeah.
For me at least. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. What's next?
Number two, have you ever leaped to a conclusion that turned out to be way off base?
I mean, I don't want to make this about us and the Red Sox, but honestly, there is no way. I never saw 2018 coming. Never saw it. Mm. I thought we were like a year away.
Yep.
I thought we had a chance in 19. Never saw that coming. I was way off base. I didn't I wasn't even sure we were going to make the playoffs that year.
Yeah.
And we ended up winning the World freaking Series. I couldn't believe it.
The only thing I can think of is, you know, one of my earliest job experiences, and I went for an interview, and the guy who interviewed me rubbed me the wrong way. I thought he hated me up and down, and I got hired. And then I thought, okay, now I've got to work with this guy who I totally had a bad impression of. And it turns out we ended up being amazing friends. He was an amazing mentor to me. I'm the godfather to his kids. It was really an amazing friendship.
That's amazing. Yeah. All right, what do you got?
All right, number three.
Oh, I thought you did you do one?
I mean, sort of.
What'd you do? I don't. Did I
miss
it?
I said I don't know.
Oh, and that's a good answer. No.
Well, he said don't answer if you don't.
No, okay.
He doesn't like leaping to conclusions, man.
Wait. But you made it sound like you had done one and I was a dope and missed it.
Oh, no.
So I wanted to make sure I didn't want to make sure you had your say.
I think it's that typical.
Okay,
you have an impression of someone.
Gotcha. Okay.
You conclude that maybe they're not a great person, but then you actually get to have the opportunity to get to know them. And
what's the movie Office Space? Remember that?
Yes.
Where the guy invents the jump to the conclusions mat? Yeah, you jump on this mat. It looked like a hopscotch mat.
Sure.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, number three?
Yeah, sure.
Number three, what is the highest thing you've ever leapt from?
I could tell you a funny story. I was on a trip in the Caribbean, and it was like one of those rocky shorelines they take us out to, and they bring us out to kind of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And by no means was this like the Mexican cliff diving that you used to see on Wild World of Sports. This was probably 25 feet up, I guess. And the guy said, hey, everybody, we're going to be jumping into the Caribbean. And I just jumped in. And then I realized later that they were going to be putting out like an inflatable raft thing to make sure.
Oh, my gosh.
And the guy looks at me when I landed. He goes, dude, you were supposed to wait till we put out the thing.
No.
I'm like, hey, I'm a New Yorker. I seize the moment.
Wow. Was he like, oh, crap? Like,
probably.
He was laughing.
Lawsuits. Lawsuits. Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Right,
lawsuits.
Right.
What about you?
Well, I've leapt up to a 30-inch box.
Yes.
All right. That's a good one.
I haven't jumped down from it. Yeah. I kind of created a little staircase along the side so I could get down, but.
Okay. Mine's very simple. It's at least a second floor. All I know is me and my sister, we were dopes. We had this big, it was definitely, I want to say it's two or three floors up. It was a back porch, and we used to dare each other to jump off. And once you did it, like once or twice, you're like, oh, I got this. And we would just do it.
Yeah.
It was the dumbest thing I think we've ever done.
Yeah.
All right. Number four, let's start a leap year tradition. What would you like to do once every 4 years? I know it is February, but imagine it could be any time of the year if weather matters.
If it's something I'd like to do it more than
once every four years.
Interesting. This is a tough one.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you want, I would do it more. I was thinking a cruise or something like that, but I'm like, do it every year. Why would you just?
Yeah, I was going the same place, maybe a really big destination trip that you're saving up for.
Right.
For
right, because that,
four
that makes
years.
Sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, commit to watching the Summer Olympics every 4 years.
Right.
And then maybe we can watch the World Cup the other every 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do. Okay, that kind of ties into appointment viewing. I watch the Olympics.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So
okay, bringing it back.
Every 4 years, either winter or summer.
It's coming up, people.
Leap year tradition.
This summer in Paris.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one, Roxy.
All right. Giving homage to the LL Pod, let me get you out of here on this. Here is a question I really like from Chuck and Roxy. Probably Roxy's idea. What is the one movie you love so much that
Wait,
you
that's
know?
All I get?
Hold on. I'm getting there. What is the one movie you love so much that you know you would be best friends with someone just by them loving it as well? Okay, so Steve, that was actually Chuck's question.
She told me off air she was going to give me a little love for that. I'm like, wait, that's all I get?
Am.
That's great. That's great. You're right. Yeah, I don't know where I probably stole it from someone else.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Probably. But yes,
I'm not that original.
You were the one that found the question and incorporated it.
Do you know what yours is?
Oh, definitely. My list begins and ends with Field of Dreams.
Okay.
I love that movie.
That's a good option. Mm-hmm. Good option. Go ahead.
Off the top of my head, Princess Diaries.
Okay. I've got so many. That's the problem.
I mean, yeah, that's the problem. I've got a lot too. But yeah, I would say that one or like Singing in the Rain.
I was trying to think of a cult classic, like Warriors, something like
that. Warriors.
Come out to play. I'm trying to think of a better one than that. But or like, you know, because there's always these types, you know, if it's like mm-hmm. The Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, that.
It's like a genre.
Genre. Mm-hmm. Then you've got like Airplane.
But I can say that I think you can tell a lot about a person if they don't like the movie that you love.
That's
as
true.
Well.
Yes.
That's true.
You can.
Yes.
But then are we jumping to conclusions?
Ooh.
Let's get the mat out. All right. Thank you, Steve Scheer, for our Friday Five.
Yeah.
Those were great.
And I figured we'd also, since it's our 300th, let's sneak in a need-to-know fact before we get out of here.
All right.
I like this one. This one was really cool. Blood donors in Sweden receive a thank you text when their blood is used.
Wow.
Let that sink in
Wait,
for a second.
Wait, that's cool.
Do they get the text from the recipient of the blood?
Well, let me read on. While it may initially seem kind of creepy, the fact that Swedish blood donors are texted and notified when their donated blood is used is actually really cool. It lets the donor know when their blood is being used to help save another life, which is both a great way to increase blood donors and an awesome way to make donors feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
In the United States, people are paid to give blood.
We're not really paid.
You're not? That's what it says.
I give blood every 7 weeks.
Maybe you're getting screwed here, Rich.
Maybe. But I will say, and it's definitely a problem, and I encourage people to give blood. It's a fantastic good deed.
When did I get blood taken? I was like, you know, I should do this. Our marriage license and stuff. Didn't we have to?
No.
Nothing like that?
No.
Well, it happened to me once where I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, that's it.
I think it might have been for the antibodies.
Oh, I thought maybe my physicals over the summer. I don't remember. Sometimes.
Maybe. Could've
but
been.
I did think about it, Ritz. I did. I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, if it's that easy.
Yeah.
It like, is easy. And
did you
somebody,
get a cookie after?
I love the cookies.
Okay.
Definitely love the cookies.
Okay.
And as one of the techs told me once, if everybody who has not ever given blood gave blood once a year, there would never be a blood shortage.
Wow.
That's how she put it to me.
Wow.
Okay, people, tiny little suggestion.
There
go donate
go.
Your blood. Let's go.
Go donate
let's
some
save
blood.
The world. I'll send you a thank you text.
Yeah, we'll All right, Roxy, let's be careful what you're putting on us here. All right. Anyway.
Gotta keep Lewis very busy.
Yeah, I know, right?
I said I.
Okay, all right.
Not we. I said me.
All right.
Roxy.
All right. Sounds good. Unfortunately, our time is up. We have to get out of here.
No.
But, you know, we want to say a quick thank you, Ritz,
yeah.
for being
hey,
here.
Hey, my pleasure.
Now, you got some shout outs, right? You
well,
said?
First of all, I want to thank Chuck and Roxy. This has been great. Little did Chuck or I know, and we have known each other through softball and bowling and whatever, and we never knew that each other were loyal littles. I had no idea of the warmth and breadth of this amazing Loyal Littles community. So now, listen, we've been to Syracuse for La Cheeseria Night and yes, many other places.
Yes.
And yeah.
Many hangouts here in the city.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's wonderful to be part of that amazing community. And thanks to you guys for bringing us together a couple of times.
I literally texted you and said, are you a fan of Tony Kornheiser? Because I was just thinking like, oh, do you watch PTI? Kind
yeah,
of thing.
Right.
And
yeah,
I responded, La Cheeseria.
Really, yeah, you were like, yeah, I am. So, anyway.
So there you go.
All
and
right.
to that end, I just want to give a quick shout out because I had a letter written on the Big Show last week. And out of the blue, one of my friends from childhood sent me a text. So shout out to Anthony Serpy, Camp Sereca in Syosset.
Wow.
I love that. Also going to put a shameless plug in for the lovely wife. This is to all of our Dallas-Fort Worth area littles. Go see her. She's performing in Once at Casa Manana starting this weekend through March. So check it out. Great show.
All right, Roxy, for the 300th time, or roughly, there's a few episodes we didn't do it. Tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
You can go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there. Our email address, our Instagram, X, Facebook, everything. Go.
I thought you were going to do it.
I got nervous.
You want to give it a spin?
You can email us at WTFC@gmail.com. You can email us at WTFCpodnet@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at Loyal Littles Pod. We're also on Instagram at The Loyal Littles Podcast. And don't forget about our Facebook page, The Loyal Littles Podcast.
There it is.
Boom. Mic drop.
I would never have been able to do that.
That felt great.
Bravo, bravo.
That felt great.
Thank you, you two. Quick shout out to Sid, Simon, Tiny Chuck.
Who are these people?
I know, right? Where are they? Where are you at?
I know.
Now, they're really busy.
This
very busy.
This is the big one.
Simon's on the West Coast. Chuck's changing a diaper.
Yep.
I don't know what Sid's doing. She's busy.
Yeah.
But we'll get him back on.
Yeah,
soon.
We will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But did want to give a quick shout out because they do contribute a lot and we really appreciate it.
Yes.
Yay.
And most importantly, thank you to the Littles. Thank you all for listening and keeping us going.
Yeah. And your love and
agreeing
support.
To come on the podcast.
Absolutely.
And we're looking forward to the next.
Yes, please come on. Don't be 100. Scared.
Yes.
It's going to be great. It's a conversation and we have so much fun.
Lewis will take care of you when he edits the podcast. He, he'll take care of you. Don't worry. You won't sound like a dope like
no.
we do. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. And Ritz, if they want a book, where can they go?
Aaronsbooks.com. And remember, put in LL Pod in the comments section.
In the comment section. Yes. That's the important part. You'll get a little quick note back saying, hey, little or something. Mm-hmm. He'll give you
little
a little cheesery or something
know.
Like that.
You've just saved 15%.
Yes, off your purchase. So please remember to do that. And remember, the most important thing is, for the 300th time, if you are out shopping online tonight, don't forget to use
the
code.
Bye.
You made the open.
Just weren't supposed to be.
The Loyal Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
Holy crap, this is legit!
Oh yeah.